to a deeper look in the book. This program is brought to you by Bible Way Community Baptist Church in beautiful Irving, Texas, where our pastor is none other than Dr. Timothy J. Wilbur, Sr. This week, Pastor Wilbur will bring in a series of lessons out of the book of 1 Timothy. So get close to your radio and listen now as we take a deeper look in the book.
Tonight we want to continue our discussion dealing with church leadership, dealing with the offices in the church, found in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 8 through 16. On our last meeting, we talked about the work of the deacons, in verses 8, 9, 10, and we skipped over verse 11, and we looked at verse 12. But tonight, we want to come back to verse 11. Verse 11 is a lesson all by itself. It is the work of the deaconess in the church. So let's take a look at the work of a deaconess in the church. We talked about in our other meeting how the work of the deacon is something like a robin to a batman. He's something like a tonto to a long ranger. In the same way, the deaconess, she's also a vital part of ministry. I believe that one of the reasons we see so many of our ministers today fall into immorality, sexual sins, is because there is a lack of participation from the deaconesses. There is a overlooking, so to speak, of this work of the deaconess in the church. We have already discussed the role of the lady of women's in the church. Tonight, I want to look at God has also given ladies leadership responsibilities as well in the church, such as a wife in the home. A wife in the home, would you consider her to be a leader in the home or just a servant in the home? She's a servant leader in the home. She's both. She's more than a maid. She's the woman of God. She's God's daughter in the home. When we look at the church in the same way, God did not give the lady primary leadership in the church, but he did give her leadership in the church. And I think because there is a battle today for the primary leadership in the church, we have overlooked this other leadership in the church. No, the Lord has not called ladies into the pastorate, but he has called them into the deaconess ministry. Look at what it says here in verse number 11. It says, women's must likewise. Notice, let me go again. Women's must likewise be dignified, not malicious gossip, but temperate, faithful in all things. Now, I believe that this word for women's here refers to more than just deacons' wives to being deaconesses. Some churches, when a person is ordained a deacon, then that deacon's wife automatically takes the responsibility of deaconess in the church. I believe that that's too limited. I believe that when it says women's here, he didn't just say wives. He says women's. He says women's must likewise. Now, let me give you four reasons why I believe that this thing applies to more than just a deacon wife to serving as deaconess. Number one, the word likewise seemed to refer to a separate group of people. It says women's must likewise. Whenever we saw that word likewise, it always referred to a separate group of people. When you look at verse number 8, in the context, we have been talking about elders. When it gets to verse 8, it says deacons. What's the next word? Likewise. Likewise what? Likewise shows similarities to what has already been said. Deacons have basically the same standard in order to qualify for ministry. Do you see that? When it says deacons, likewise. So often we look at the pastor, his standard is way up here. And we look at the deacon, he can get off with a lot of things down here. But that's not the way the scripture put it, do it. The standard is right here. Likewise, deacons likewise. All right, women's, verse number 11, must likewise. Now, we are talking about in the context of what? Church leadership. Elders, deacons, deaconesses. Now, somebody named the second thing. There is no possessive pronoun or definite article connecting these women to deacon wives. It didn't say deacons' wives must likewise, did it? It just says women's. Okay? The third reason I believe that a lady don't have to be a deacon wife in order to be a deaconess is because Paul gave no qualification for an elder's wife. Did you notice that? When we looked at verses 1 through 7, it focuses in on the elders. Well, what about the preacher's wives? He didn't give no qualifications, did he? He didn't come up with a separate office for for preacher's wives, did he? Do you see it in verses 1 through 7? If he didn't come up with no qualifications, no separate office for elders' wives, why should he have to come up with a separate office for deacons' wives? Do you follow me? He's opening this thing up to more than just deacons' wives, more than just the preacher's wife. This office of deaconess is going to be open to these ladies that fit the qualification. Oh, I don't believe you're with me this evening. I don't know if I got anybody that even want to be a deaconess in the church this evening. Are you with me this evening? All right. The fourth reason, Paul did not use the word deaconess because there is no such word in the Greek language, deaconess. The masculine form of deaconos was used for both men's and women's. Using the word women's was the only way that Paul could distinguish between males' deacons. So when he opened this thing here up, he's opening it up to a lady like Sister Clark. She's not married to no deacon, but she can serve as a deaconess if she fulfilled these qualifications. Sister Mitchell, her husband is not a preacher, but she can serve as a deaconess if she measure up to the standard. Sister Gladys, she can be a deaconess even if she's not married to a preacher or a deacon. We looked at this thing earlier. Paul was single. You know, God is not looking at marital status to determine whether or not a person can take an office in the church. See, some people will not ordain a man or a woman if they are single. Well, you gotta leave Paul out then if you're gonna take that approach. He's opening these things up to women. Now, listen, women, he's gonna give you here four qualifications to serve as a deaconess. These are the four qualifications if you wanna serve as a deaconess in the house of God. Now, if you want to aspire for church leadership, ladies, this is the only office. This is the only one. Is this deaconess. Now, look at it here. The first thing he says, women must likewise be dignified. Now, that word is basically the same word that is used back up in verse 8, isn't it? Where it says, deacon likewise must be men of dignity. Now, deacons, ladies, I don't want you to answer this. I want the brothers to answer this. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the qualifications of a deacon, and the first thing, a deacon must be a man of dignity. What are we talking about, brothers, when we talk about a man of dignity? This is the first qualification. He must be a man of dignity. Come on now. Well, what you say, brother? Pride? No, that's... I know what you're saying. He must take some pride in that office. I know that's what you're saying. We need to go a little deeper than that. Okay, a man of integrity. Yeah, well, it was one word that I worked on. It was one word that I really, really worked on. What? Truthfulness. You're pretty close, brother. Serious. This word dignified comes from the Greek word simon-like, and it means to be a man that is serious. In other words, we gave you the illustration of like Little Boy Blue. Remember Little Boy Blue? they called him to come blow his horn. Why? The sheep was in the meadow and the cow was in the corn. And what was Little Boy Blue? He was under the haystack, fast asleep. In other words, he wasn't on the job. He didn't take the job seriously. The first qualification of a deacon, as well as a deaconess, the job of deaconess must be job number... Oh, y'all not with me. I mean, I'm... Where is this? All right, come on with me. Got to take this thing serious. Anything less than putting God number one shows that you don't take God seriously. What is the first commandment out of the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt have no other. That's just the qualification even of a Christian. That's his standard. God's got to be number one in your life. And sure enough, if you're going to take an office in the church, God's got to be number one in your life. People, when they see you, they see a serious person. They see somebody that they know ain't chucking and jiving when it comes to church matters. When it comes to doing the will of God, when it comes to doing the work of God and doing God's work, God's way, they can look at that person and tell that person is serious. That person there is serious. Dignified. Dignified. Now, what I want to do, I believe that a picture is better than even 1,000 words, as they often say, unless you can come up with the right word that describe a picture. So let me just look at some pictures in the Bible of some ladies that were serious about ministry. Let's take a look over in the book of Luke. And we're going to stay over in the book of Luke. So the first qualification, the first qualification for a deaconess in the church is what? She must be serious. Got to be serious. Got to take the Lord's work serious. Now, what do Ford say? Ford say, what's that commercial? Quality. There you go, sister. Quality is what? Job number one. Spirituality ought to be number one. Ought to be number one. God's work ought to be number one. Not just while you're at the church. When they see you out there at the mall, I mean, they still see this serious. Even the way you play serious. Why? Because you play fast. You know, sometimes a person, you can tell a lot about a person by the way they play. Yeah. If you want to know a person, what's really in their heart, get them in a setting where they can let their hair hang down. Get them in a setting where they let their hair hang down. And if that brother cursed just like the rest of them brothers out there cursing, no, something ain't right. If that sister gonna dress just like all the rest of the sisters, no, something ain't right. If that sister's worried about fitting in with the crowd, no, something ain't right. She ain't taking her role as a deaconess, number one, serious, and not even her commitment to the Lord, serious. Do you ever take a break in your Christianity? You don't ever take a break in your Christianity. And, you don't never pull off holiness. You don't ever pull off holiness. Let's take a look at the book of Luke over in Luke chapter 7, verse number 44. Let's pick up the story at verse number 44. And what I want you to see is that when a person, when a lady, as well as a man, when they take the Lord's work seriously, they are a devoted servant. They are a devoted, gracious servant. Look at verse number 44. It says, and turning towards the woman, he said to Simon, Simon, do you see this woman? I entered your house and you gave me no water for my feet. But she has wiped my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. Wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no glory or no kiss. But she, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sin, which are many, has been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little, loved little. And he said to her, your sins has been forgiven. Now, notice, you can tell how committed a person is just by looking at their love life to the Lord. Jesus says a person who done been forgiven much is going to love God much. A person who done been forgiven little is going to love God little. One of the major problems in the church, particularly out of people who have been raised in a church home, our church family, they often love God little. Why? It's because they don't see themselves ever being too bad. And so they see themselves as being forgiven very little. What have God saved a person who grew up in a religious household, went to church, went to Sunday school, never hardly done anything real bad? What have God really saved that person from? A lot of times they can't even think of nothing that God done saved them from. As a result, they turn out to be very worldly. And their mamas and their daddies, they can't understand, because they say, wait a minute, we didn't raise that boy to be that way. We didn't raise him to act like that. But the thing is, he see himself forgiven little. He see himself as not that bad. And as a result, he don't go all the way with Jesus. He look at the man, the drunkard man, and man, you need salvation. Man, you really need Jesus. But he don't see his need for Jesus. He's just like Simon in this text. A dignified lady, man, she's going to pour her heart out to Jesus Christ. There ain't no doubt in your mind who she's in love with. Was it any doubt who this lady was in love with? This lady poured this expensive perfume on Jesus Christ. This lady, I mean, she cried at his feet and then took her hair. You know that hair means glory. She took the best thing that she had and wiped it with it. That's love, isn't it? How many of you going to kiss Jesus' feet? How many of you willing to shed tears for Jesus Christ? How many of you willing to give your whole year's salary to Jesus Christ? That's what this lady did. When she pulled that oil, that was equivalent to a whole year's salary. How many of you going to give up that $20,000 salary to Jesus Christ? When we're talking about dignified. Because, see, if you going to serve the Lord in the church, if you're going to step out, God is asking you for everything. You know, when I first started this church, I kept asking the Lord, how much more? The Lord kept saying this one thing, kept coming back in my spirit. I want it all. I want it all. How much more I'm going to give? I want it all. The Lord don't stop pulling and stop tugging on you until he get it all. The scripture says, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And so if you're going to leave the church, you got to be in love, and people got to see you loving God with your all. How can you go and tell these other ladies, you're going to have to love God with your all, and they don't see you loving God with your all? How can you go and talk to the ladies and tell the ladies, you got to put your heart in this thing, and they don't see your heart in this thing? How can you go and talk to these ladies about making right choices, and they keep seeing you mess up your life by making the wrong choice? Dignified, that's what we're talking about. The second thing about a dignified lady, you're going to be able to tell about the way she gives. The way she gives. Sent down the glory.
If you would like a copy of the message that you have just heard in its entirety, please call the church office at 972-257-3766. That's 972-257-3766. Or visit the church website at BibleWayIrving.org. That's BibleWayIrving.org. And come by and worship with us this Sunday morning at 11 o'clock at Bible Way Community Baptist Church. And tune in tomorrow as we take a look in the book. Yeah, yeah.